Okay, so at the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim, we're told about a bris, which really we found already in Parshas Kisavo. Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out that at the end of the Tochacha in Parshas Bechukosa, it says, right, there's a bris that was given at Har Sinai b'yad Moshe, and then at the end of Kisavo, it also, at the end of Tochacha, it says, Eilech divrei habris, just find it, that was given at in Moab. So there was a second bris that was given here. So this bris here, it's pasuk samach tas elivers lechos bnei Yisrael be'eretz Moab milvad habris asher karas itam b'chorev. So there was a second bris. There was a bris at Har Sinai. There was a bris here at Arvos Moab. So in the last week's parsha, that's hayom hazeh niyesa la'am, meaning until now, everyone was chayv and mitzvahs as individuals. Now there's a bris of kol Yisrael arevim zelos that each one's responsible for the other. That's what being a nation means, that you're responsible. And then there's a lot to discuss here. We only have 15 minutes. I just want to discuss the halachic pieces. But there's a lot more to discuss. Interestingly, the Gemara quotes a source from the Tochacha in Parshas Bechukosa, v'kashlu ish be'achiv. So if you look in Rav Shechter's Divrei Rav, so he has a discussion there in the footnote, how they use the source of Bechukosa as the source for Arvus. But that is the source, that people are going to be nichshal for the sins of others. And there is a machlokas among the Tanoim, in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia, in terms of the extent of that. Are people responsible for private? That's what it says here. Anistaros, Hashem Elokeinu v'anignos l'adam, meaning Hashem knows what people do behind closed doors. We only know what people do in public. So are we responsible for what people do behind closed doors or only for what's in public? Rashi here seems to say they're only responsible for what's in our control, not for what people do behind closed doors. But we are responsible for that. And there are a number of ramifications. I wrote about in Yadrim, in the last volume, in the blue one, about the mitzvahs losa, say, and our responsibility towards others in terms of people violating averos and how responsible we are for that. And I'm going to focus tonight on the mitzvahs say. So the most obvious application I'm going to get to last. First, let's discuss two lesser ones. So Magen Avraham, Magen Avraham writes the following, that let's say you're, it's Hanukkah and there's a run on oil. So not everybody has enough oil to light all the candles. So you can light the regular way, mehudr, mahadr, ben mahadr, or you can give your friend oil to light, and you'll both light on a basic level. So he says that you should do that, meaning you should give your friend oil, let him let him do some and you do some. It seems to be based on Arvus. He goes further. This is I wouldn't say further meaning, but it's a different, for us this would be like I could do this. Let's say you have your own private lulav and esrog. The shul has, whatever, the community has one, and generally people, they take from the kahal, they give it back. But you have your own. There's another community that doesn't have any lulav and esrog at all. So he says, send your private esrog, even though it's mahadrin, meaning it's better to, there are hidurim, not, it's not mahadrin in the same kind of way, but it's obviously better to own your own lulav and esrog as opposed to doing this, buyback, take it, give it back. But the other town has nothing, so you have this chiv of arvus, kol Yisrael arevim zeh lazeh. Fine. So that's one application. Rav Yosef Chaim of Baghdad splits in Torah Lishma. He splits between the Hanukkah case, where he says that for an individual, you might not be mechuyev to give up your mahadrin, but for the whole community, meaning the whole town, is going to miss out on the mitzvah of the Nesrog, so there he agrees. Okay. We've discussed before the sugya in Shabbos and the Dalet, Chatei B'Shvil Sheyizkeh. So the case there is somebody puts something in the oven, and they're not going to be chayiv for it until it bakes. So they put a piece of bread in the oven. Now, Radias Hapas, scooping out the bread, is itself, it's not a malacha, it's a minor infraction. Okay, we're not going to get into why that is. Scooping out the bread in those times was considered a minor infraction. So can you scoop out the bread to save this fellow from violating an iser? Chatei b'shvil shiyizke. You violated a minor iser, so he can violate a major iser. So we say no. Tosa says that that's only in a case where the person was negligent, meaning he didn't, you know, he wasn't in the right mindset, or he did it intentionally, whatever, he did something that was that he shouldn't have done. But if it was some circumstances where he wasn't negligent, it was beyond his control, or at least it wasn't pshia, then we would say chatei b'shvil shiyizke. So there is now machlokas how to apply this tosos and related to arvos. So why don't you just say like this? Kol Yisrael Arayim Zelazeh, he's going to violate his Erev Shabbos, so you should take out the bread. So Beis Yitzchak says that this is exactly what Tosus means, meaning in a case of negligence, there's no arvus. Kol Yisrael Arayim Zelazeh means people are doing their thing and they're violating averus, but if they're negligent about their own observance of mitzvahs, then arvus doesn't apply, and therefore Kol Yisrael Arayim Zelazeh does not apply. And Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan says it a little differently, that... that what does arvus mean? So some guy violates Shabbos, so the iser is split among all of Klal Yisrael. So you're telling me that your violation of a drabanan is a lower level iser than Klal Yisrael Rimzal? No, because if you split an iser d'oraisa among the 600,000 Jews or the millions of Jews that are out there, so it's not as bad as what you're going to do to save him from the iser. That's his cheshbon. This kind of plays out, and
why wouldn't the drabanan be better?
Meaning, it's better to it's better not to violate a drabanan than to be over passively on Kol Yisrael Arayim Zelazeh, where you're only going to be over on 1/600,000th of a mitzvah personally. Yeah, exactly. Right. So this kind of has echoes in a machlokus in the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah. Let's say you forgot to buy an esrog. Let's say you forgot to buy an esrog before Sukkos. And now, whatever, you can ask your neighbor, the non-Jew, to go across the Tchum, buy you a lulav and esrog and bring it back. So you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to violate a drabanan to, let's assume, at least Isser Tchumen in order to do that. So are you allowed to send a non-Jew to deliver an esrog to your friend outside the Tchum who doesn't have a lulav and esrog? So the Magen Avraham says, no, that's chatei b'shvil shiyizke. You can't violate an iser to save somebody else. And the Mishnah Berurah says, what do you mean? This is a classic case of Kol Yisrael Arayim Zelazeh. You have a chiyuv to not only fulfill your own mitzvah, you have a chiyuv for him to fulfill his mitzvah. And if you needed that esrog, so you would be allowed to do it, so too he who did not fulfill the mitzvah, you can violate Amir Lenachri to fulfill the mitzvah. So I think for the most part, this highlights the difference between a mitzvah sasei and a mitzvah lo sasei, meaning you're doing it not because you're going to violate yourself a partial, certainly Yisrael Chanan's cheshbon. It's that you, until he fulfills his mitzvah, you haven't completely fulfilled yours, and therefore you can... You can ask a nachri to do it.
Would it matter if he was b'shogeg or not? This you could. It would be nice to.
This is easier type of stuff where you could not. Well, for every now, I mean, yeah, be sending out, yeah, well, but. Yeah, right. The question is, how far do you go? Meaning, do you have to spend money for each person's fulfillment? Should you be buying up, hundreds of thousands of dollars so that other people could do it? So it's interesting. We don't have the time to go into the parameters of violation of mitzvah lo sasei versus mitzvah sasei, but sometimes there's, here it seems to be more of a kula for somebody else, whereas it could be that, ain't ledover sof, and you know. You're not going to solve the problem. It's an unsolvable problem. And this segues into the classic case of Arvus, or what people quote in terms of mitzvahs, and that is Afal Pisha Yotze Motzi, that even though you have not fulfilled the mitzvah, you've already fulfilled the mitzvah, you can perform on behalf of somebody else, and therefore call up brachos kula on Afal Pisha Yotze Motzi, that if somebody else didn't fulfill the mitzvah, you can recite the bracha on their behalf. So there is a rush. The rush is talking about. I'm going to skip some of the sources here. The rush is talking about berachas hamazon. Okay, can somebody who only ate a kezias say berachas hamazon for somebody else? And he says yes. That since you're chayev in Kol Yisrael Reim Zelazeh, he doesn't know how to bench. So the Rabbanan said, normally you can't do that because you didn't eat, but if you ate a kezias, that's enough. And even though it's a Rabbanan, he's a Daraisa, because he only ate a kezias, that's fine. And don't ask me from the fact that women can't recite Berachas HaMazon for men, that's a different discussion. So the Dagam of Vava says, you see from the end of the Rosh, when he says, Isha Eina Bechlal Ha'arvus, that women and men can't be Arevim one for the other, and therefore if a woman, a man, makes Kiddush Deoraisa in Shul, meaning when he says Shmona Esrei, the woman didn't do that, she didn't have Marv for whatever reason, and then the man comes home and he wants to say Kiddush on her behalf, so he can't do it because she's still Chayev Esmi Daraisa. He's already discharged his biblical obligation, and he's only Chayev Midrabanan. Yes, there are a number of ways around this. Some say that if she says Good Shabbos, they're on the same level, or if she says something about Kiddush Shabbos, they're on the same level. Meaning, he didn't make Kiddush Al Kos, she didn't make Kiddush Al Kos. Just he made Kiddush in Shmon Esrei, and she didn't, so maybe they can get on the same level like that. Rabbi Kiva Eger disagrees fundamentally, and he says the Rosh never meant that there's no obligation, there's no arvus between men and women. The Rosh is specifically talking about Berachas HaMazon, because women, according to some opinions, are not chayavos at all in Berachas HaMazon. So you can't say Afal Pisha Yotze Motzi for this, because women might not be chayav at all in Berachas HaMazon in a Torah, and only chayavos midrabanan. Now, why I point this out is that this is why reading text inside can really be important, and where you put the comma here is the whole machlokas. Okay, so he says that if you look at the second to last line of the Rosh, aval isha. This is the way the Dagam Rav would read. Aval isha ain a chayevus b'chala arvus, comma lechach ain a motzi ela misha chayev midron. A woman is not included in arvus, therefore she can't discharge the obligation of somebody who has a chayev midron. Rabbi Kiva Eger would read it like this: aval isha ain a b'chala arvus lechach. A woman is not bechlal arvus for this, meaning for Berachas HaMazon, and therefore, eina motziya ela mishachiyuvo midrabana. So where the comma is like the whole crux of this major, this is a big discussion, remember, when we talk about arvus, talk about women, okay, does a woman have to say good Shabbos before her husband makes kiddush for? So it's all based on a comma that, they didn't use commas.
Is it so clear that Rabbi Shimon would agree to this Rosh?
No, but I'm saying within this Rosh, right, there's two ways to read it, Rabbi Kiva Eger's way and the Dagam of Avos. So one last point I'll make is that I don't have time to go through all the sources. There's a comment of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. He's quoted as saying this. This is in the Gur Yitzchak and Nitzavim, that when we talk about Arvus, a guarantor, a loan guarantor, there's two levels. You could be a loan guarantor in Arev Stam, which means that they go to the borrower and they say, do you have money? And he says no. So only if he says no, then you can go to the guarantor. Then there's something else called an Arev Kablan, that the lender has the option to go straight to the guarantor and say, give me the money. So Rav Chaim points out that Afa Pisha Yotze Motzi is not a regular arvus. It's Arev Kablan, meaning you're on the high level, meaning that just because he didn't fulfill the obligation, now they can go directly to you first before, because he didn't fulfill it, you didn't fulfill it. If it was just that that after a default you can make up for, you'll be able to make a bracha for him. So that could be the difference between, that's what Sorotskin and Gurus Yisrael points out, that the Arvas at the end of Bichu Kosai is talking about just regular Arvas, general sense, you know, but in Kisavon, it's Arif Kabbalah, and that it's Mamasha, you can go after the anyone else to fulfill the obligation, and therefore you can make a bracha.
Okay. Thank you very much.